When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Good afternoon, puny humans. Welcome to Marvel Movie Talk right here on the Geekscape Network. Very excited to be joined by our compatriots here, our comrades in arms. The one, the only, Count Eric Connor. Hello, sir.
Greetings, and I'm enjoying a green Kit Kat in honor of our movie selection for today.
Well, I'm clearly representing Red Hulk for our visual audience, but that's fine. And the number one Hulkamaniac brother that I know of, Michael X. Shirley, thank you for dressing for the occasion.
Well, you know me. I do what I can.
So obviously it's a little bit of a slow Marvel news time right now. That's why last week we watched Elektra, and it was anything but electric. But Eric and I, we appreciate the gift that Michael shared with us, which was a standard def pan and scan DVD. But we are today talking about the Ang Lee Hulk, which is available on Hulu. That's where I watched it.
Yes,
and my first thought sure was 2 hours and 18 minutes. Who are they kidding? I hadn't even started yet. I was not starting it. Yeah. Now, of the two of you, had you both seen this prior?
In the theater, actually.
Oh my gosh! So you spent actual money. This must have been a much younger, naive Michael Shirley who used to go to the theater.
18 years old, baby.
Oh my gosh. And what about you, Eric? Did you see it in the theater?
I was not 18, so I should have known better, but I did not. I saw it opening weekend, and if you remember, the second weekend of this movie lost like 70% of its audience.
Yeah.
And after watching this for about 15 minutes, I'm amazed the number was that low.
Yeah, it was released. It was released June 17th, 2003. I was a couple months away from driving out to Los Angeles and moving out here. So I didn't have a lot of excuse except for the fact that everything I heard was that this movie was terrible. And we'd gotten two X-Men movies at that point, and I don't believe we had gotten the first Daredevil. I think that came later. So, you know, it was the getting Marvel movies, live action movies on the big screen, I think was still novel. It was still fun. It was still exciting. But man, there was a stink about this movie. It didn't look good. And watching it 20 years later, it also didn't look good. So, I just missed it. And by the way, Daredevil came out February 14th, 2003. So, yes, happy Valentine's Day
to
Matt Murdock.
Wrong.
Yeah, I that's why I looked it up, because I'm like, no, wait, I think it was out, because I definitely saw it.
And I was wrong.
Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. I was 17. So...
When I was 17,
it was a very good year.
Harry Green Hulk.
It was the edge of seven. It was the edge of 17 because my birthday was next.
So you were edging the entire movie. Is that what you're trying to say? And there's so many levels in which this movie didn't work for me, and we're going to talk about it. What do you remember about seeing it when you first saw it? Michael, were you able to be like, oh, man, Hulk green, Hulk smash, yeah, it was cheesy, but did you have fun when you saw it back then, or did you have maybe a more discerning palate than some moviegoers?
Oh, it was more like Eric Bana hot, Eric Bana great. I actually, like, when I saw it, I liked it. I didn't love it, sure, but I did like it. I mean, like you said, we didn't have a lot. Nothing like yeah. we do now when it comes to the Marvel Universe. But I was okay with it.
What about you, Eric, when you first saw this Hulk movie?
Well, I mean, one thing that's kind of funny. Sorry, but... yes.
Oh
thank
my
you.
Gosh! Great timing.
I tried to hit the mute button. I missed it.
Well, that's like when they try to tear gas the Hulk. He just sneezes it out.
Yeah, I just get more powerful.
Was a great moment. Yes.
So X2 came out like a couple of months before.
Yes,
this.
It was that summer 2003. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was actually looking up because I was kind of curious as I'm watching this. I'm like, what else had come out around then? So the year before was Spider-Man. But the year before it was also like Blade 2, which I think is another like X-Men 2, a really sort of high end superhero movie. And so we actually had not many. You're right, Michael, but we had a couple of really legitimate superhero films around this time.
Fantastic Four.
Oh, of course. So too soon.
Yeah, not Fantastastic. The Jessica Alba, Michael Chiklis.
The bootleg copy of Fantastic Four.
No, not that one. We had that one. But
yeah, that's what I'm saying. We had that. And so you see this, and even when I saw in the theater, and again, I wasn't a young, you know, ripped Michael Shirley. I was still in my 20s, squishy man you see. And this... You watch the first half hour of this, and it's almost numbing. And I remember that feeling even when I saw it, because I have not seen this since then. So this is the 20-year anniversary of Christian Blatt moving to L.A. It's the 20-year anniversary of my seeing the Hulk, two of the most important moments in pop culture.
By the way, the Jessica Alba Fantastic Four was released in June 2005. So we were years away from that at this point.
Really?
I just looked it up. It's another one. I remember where I was when I saw it. And I'm like, I know what that trip was. And so I looked it up. So yeah, look, the point is very slim pickings. And, you know, we were still on pause for Batman in the movies. You know what I mean? Like superhero movies had gone away. Partially because of George Clooney and his ever erect nipples, you know? So the idea that we were getting superhero movies again, the first Sam Raimi Spider-Man, I enjoyed it then. I enjoy it now. The second one is my favorite of definitely that trilogy. One of my favorite superhero movies. X2 is my favorite of the Bryan Singer X-Men movies. But I think that, I didn't have good feelings about this. And so I went all this time, and eventually it became a badge of courage not watching this movie. But I thought for this show, if I was going to watch Elektra, and the fact that I watch Elektra before I watch this will tell you a little something. So that's my first question for you, Eric. It's fresh in your mind. Is this movie better than Elektra?
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
I don't know. I almost feel like it's a monkey's paw kind of thing to choose either of these. Like, they're both cursed to hell. At one point, I did ask myself this question. Is this more boring than Elektra? And
at
I realized it is. And I think, you know, the second half is a different beast, if you will. But the first half, it is. Remember when we watched... the vampire movie whose name we shall not name, starring Jared Leto. And one of the things I joked around about that one is like, if you thought that the other superhero movies didn't spend enough time in a lab, well, we got a movie for you. And Hulk is saying, hold my drink, because it has some of the most boring writing. At one point I'm watching, I'm looking at the clock and like 20 minutes in, no Hulk, 25 minutes in. We have spent 23 of these 25 minutes in a lab. We watched a frog explode. We watched a starfish get cut open, which gave me, it sort of triggered me because I literally, as a kid, got a piece of a starfish in my eye when we dissected it in biology class. So I had to get past that moment. And
You really were a Limp Bizkit fan, huh?
Limpest of biscuits. It was really just so unbelievably slow and made by talented people. So then I started getting angry as I'm watching it now. Correct. Thinking of like what Ang Lee can run hot and cold over the last like 15 or so years.
But I believe Ang Lee's first movie was The Ice Storm, which I remember seeing in theaters. Is fantastic. You know,
Ice Storm is incredible. And same writer, I believe. Not his first film, but his like second English language film.
Right. Okay. Fair.
And first film was Sense and Sensibility, which I will freely admit to loving. This one, I don't know what happened. I don't understand how such smart people could come up with such dreck.
So the one thing that I like as an approach, but the execution did not work, and at first it was very distracting, was the transitions with the panels and things and having it be like a living comic book, but it didn't work. You know, I'm like, oh, that's an interesting idea, but then you might have wanted to ask yourself, hey, how come no comic book movies have done that before? Oh yeah, because it's really weird. You don't get a lot of split screens and picture in a picture from movies. That's kind of like, you know, Quinn Martin 70s crime dramas. You know, that's really when you tend to get that. And I'm reminding Daniel of the transitions. And I'm very glad that Daniel and Kame Egan are in the chat. It is a little hard to believe that we're 20 years removed from Brother, the Hulk movie. And it's shocking how boring it is. The flashback sequence where we start, where we're, I don't know, basically like, you know, a green Los Alamos, where it doesn't matter. It's that kind of base. And it's like, okay, I'm pretty sure Nick Nolte could have mumbled his way through a recap of all of this. You know, we definitely did not need to start the movie with a long drawn out, you know, and conveniently they both lived in the same town at the same time, but let's not really do anything with that.
And then we go back to that like three times, four times, including a flashback within a flashback.
Ang Lee spent a couple bucks on that set. So they're like, you are going back to that set. We're going to use it. Well, what do you think, Michael? Is it simple? Is the biggest problem that this movie at times is so incredibly dull?
I feel like the movie's really inconsistent in a lot of different areas. I disagree mostly with what you're saying about the transitions. I liked that boxy, like, comic book feel to it, but you only really get that at the end. You don't really see much of that in the beginning at all. It did take me out of it when Josh Lucas, like, flies through the air and there's, like, an outline around his body. That, I was like, wait. No, you could have done this a little better.
You mean a little bit better? Do you think that perhaps that didn't work as well as they wanted it to? And as I'm watching that, I'm thinking, are they trying to do something like have it look all comic booky?
Oh my god, I love that you just did this.
I was waiting for a reveal. I didn't want to start the show with
you did perfect.
Yeah. I might leave myself in the big box now for the rest of the show.
Well, and what's incredible about it too, beyond everything, is the white outline around his body, the frozen frame. So yeah, this is not. Yes, it's a screen grab, but it was frozen. In the moment too, like, and so
it's like at the end of the Naked Gun movies are based on a TV show called Police Squad, and then they would do the freeze frame, like actually like a Quinn Martin detective show, and then all these the characters would be stopped, everything else was moving around them and just sort of like looking like, why are they stopped? It gave me Police Squad vibes. Yeah, for sure.
It gave me really bad like Charlie's Angels like movie, but like a porn, like Carly's Angels or something, like vibes to it.
Is that Kami Egan says that was a terrific terrific laugh, and she also loved Police Squad. But yeah, I think that it's
so bad.
It's so bad. And by the way,
it's like the first time.
What a just thinly written character, by the way.
Yeah. When you
first meet him, he's in the elevator with Jennifer Connelly. He's like, "You're looking good." I'm like, "Really? Yeah. You want to do another take on that?" No, we got it.
Or when she was taking off, like, I don't know, her sweater. It's like, yep, yeah. Just like college.
Yeah. Yeah, she was always taking off that sweater because...
Remember when you took off that sweater at Arby's with me? Good time. Mocha shake of my sweater. Yeah.
You do this Mr. Rogers thing where you'd zip up a completely different cardigan than the one you just took off and change your shoes, but that was college, all right. You know?
That's another really hard part for me about the movie. I feel like her chemistry with Eric Bana just isn't really there. It's kind of hard to believe that they dated. They should have delved into that a little more than like that selfie scene with the tree or whatever, like in the forest.
Oh, you mean when they were Land's End models?
Yeah. And I've always found her to be such like exactly what she wanted in an actress, like beautiful and talented. And when you watch her, like some of the acting is good, but some of it is just, I'm like, is this the same woman who did Requiem for a Dream? Like, it, like, what's going on here?
This isn't even the same woman who did Opportunity Knox. No, I mean, this isn't the same woman who did Top Gun Maverick. You know what? Yeah, Opportunity Knox is the Dana Carvey movie. That is the movie I meant. I did mean Career Opportunities. Thank you for that.
Her dialogue with Sam Elliott is so like inconsistent. Like at times I feel like it's a father and daughter talking, and at the other times I feel like she's talking to the stand-in or something and they're just practicing and going through the lines. Like it's really just not from her typically.
They seem like they have a relationship that, you know, she's someone who has just called a 1-800 number on a cable news channel to be sold gold and, you know, to buy some new gold doubloons and whatnot, one of those products. So, yeah, he's I'm going to say not my favorite Thunderbolt Ross that we've gotten.
I disagree. He's my favorite.
Well, because I feel like, because I know we're getting Harrison Ford. So that's why I'm saying it's hedged against him. So,
You get this, Hulk.
You know how I feel about recasting.
I do.
I get it. William Hurt died. Like, correct. I get that for sure.
Do you?
But why don't we find someone that looks just remotely like him? It's like John replacing Tesh. Terrence Howard with John Cheadle. Like completely, it's like a very light-skinned black man with a really dark-skinned black man. Like, oh, he's black. It's fine. Like, they'll get it. Like, it's just like...
In half his height, mind you.
And, you know, at least Sarah Chalky looked a little like Lisey Goranson.
I mean, she could not have looked less like her. She was a whole head taller than her. But
she's made-for-TV version of her.
We very clearly need to do a standalone podcast where we review Roseanne's new podcast. That's not going to be here.
Oh my gosh!
We may have featured a clip yesterday on the show that premiered. Which, thanks for bringing it up. Who Are These Broadcasters premiered yesterday on the Who Are These Podcasts network. So you can check that out on YouTube over there. It's also available as an audio podcast. But we're here on Geekscape. We're here talking about the Hulk movie. And I think that it would be easy to shrug off some of the bad, not all of it, if Hulk looked at least okay. He looked really bad, even for 2003 standards. I think he looked terrible. And there's when we're first seeing him first jumping to go back to, I think it's Berkeley that they want us to believe that is. It looks like
next to the
first pass of the VFX team of like, okay, and this is where we're going to put the real effects. And it's 100% how that felt. There are times that he's rendered really well and you can see the resemblance, you know, to Banner, you know, but a lot of the times I'm just like, I'm not buying that anyone is in the room with this big green thing. And from you know, the Ed Norton Hulk, and whenever we've seen Mark Ruffalo, including in She-Hulk, I always felt like, yeah, this is Hulk. He's really there. And it took me out of most of these scenes. And I also can't believe that they were able to take a handsome young buck like Nick Nolte and then digitally alter him to make him look so haggard. And there were times where I was thinking, it's actually in the notes that I took while I was watching. Nick, this is from like the end when they finally get to sit down and talk to each other. I'm like, Nick Nolte is not acting. This is just Tuesday for him. You know, it's just like, yeah, you just go ahead, Nick, do whatever you want to do. Is this down and out in Beverly Hills too? Yeah, sure it is. Just go ahead. Do whatever you need to.
I really like when he just bites into the cord.
I grab
like,
that.
Wait, and it has like, what, yeah, no power? And they're like, turn it on.
We'll show him. How dare you bite government property, brother?
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, and there's so many things. I mean, I've seen Eric Bana in other things, and he's fine. I didn't feel like he was Bruce Banner. You know, even when he was going by the other name, I didn't feel like he was that guy either.
Okay. You know? But, well, I've seen Eric Bana in the grocery store, and he is fine. I'll tell you that.
I mean, look, neither Eric nor myself are here to debate that point. You know what I mean?
If you're going to bang the Hulk, you might as well go with him.
But
if you're going to rank them in terms of, as Eric says, bangability. I would say that he is going to have to take the top. Yeah, so this was the picture that Eric sent to us. And
we're all on the same page with the visuals here.
I almost feel like now it's like I want to leave that picture up the whole time. There's just too many choices. I'm like, I don't even know what to do. And I was just like, he's not gonna bite that. Okay, he is.
You bit it twice. He had to bite away the chewy chocolate coating, and then he got to
and Daniel gives us a big nom nom. And to my earlier point, Kemi Egan, is your name pronounced Kemi? Because I realize now what your social media name is. Have I been saying it wrong all these years? But anyway, Ms. Egan says that I know Hulk is supposed to be an enormous monster, but he was almost too big in this film. I mean, he is much larger than we see him any other time. You know, the Ed Norton Hulk is never this big. The Mark Ruffalo Hulk is never this big. Now, there was one time where he got extra angry and then he got bigger. And I'm like, that's interesting. I've never seen that before, even animated. So
We knew that Mark Ruffalo's Hulk, when he got angrier, he got more powerful and bigger.
But he didn't get bigger.
Oh, he didn't get bigger. He just was stronger.
I think he just gets stronger. Yeah, and I think that that is one common take on the Hulk is that when he gets even more angry, he gets even stronger. So,
well, obviously,
kind of like Nick Nolte,
or kind of like
exactly like Nick Nolte. Yeah,
what were you saying? Hulks out. I mean, obviously, we're not paying attention to really how we still use the word Hulk as a verb. It begins and ends with Terry Bollea, aka Hulk Hogan.
Well, but when you're talking about Terry Hulk Hogan and you said, wow, they really Hoganed that, you're talking about something completely different.
No, that's a word I don't want my kids to use.
Yeah, hide your kids, hide your wives. Hulk's in town. That's all.
Also, one thing too, with regards to Hulk's size, I felt like it was almost inconsistent, like shot to shot. Like there are times when he looked like he was the size of like seven men. And then in the next, in like, it would cut to like a wider shot, and suddenly he's like, no, he's just like, maybe, I don't know, three of them. So I found that's the stuff that drove me.
Yeah, it's almost like they, you know, they divided up the VFX amongst different teams and gave them not enough time to work with, and none of them communicated with each other. So everyone, it was like they were working on different movies. It's almost like that. I mean, I'm not not pretending to be a Hollywood insider, just because I know someone who lives in Burbank. You know, I'm not pretending anything here. But yeah, and the casting, you know, the idea that Eric Bana could be a superhero is not foreign. I just, for me, it didn't work with him as this character, you know. And I think now I can definitely say that my favorite Hulk continues to be Ed Norton.
What?
I'm just dropping facts here. And by the way, the way that Jennifer Connelly's performance in this movie, all of a sudden Liv Tyler makes a lot more sense. That's what I'm trying to say.
I will say Liv Tyler is better than Jennifer Connelly, a sentence
she's
that can never be said.
She's consistent with this character of Betty, though, and yes, she is better. And what?
Oh, sorry, Michael, go ahead, boss.
Oh, I'm just on this whole on this other level about Liverwurst Tyler. Like, I'm just like, whole, like, we're gonna have to come back to that. That's a really big thing. But I really did. Maybe he needed a few more weeks with an acting coach, but I really have bought Eric Bana as like this dippy scientist guy that's kind of unassuming. I felt like his Hulk, he looked the most, like you could see physicality in the character more than with Edward Norton. Edward Norton as the Hulk is like the most ridiculous thing to me in the
Edward
entire
Norton,
world.
Edward Norton as Bruce Banner is the point. He's not the Hulk, he's Bruce Banner. Having Eric Bana as the Hulk is as though you cast Lou Ferrigno as David Banner and not as the Hulk, but you cast him as David Banner so he could play both parts, which, big shout out, in both of the actual theatrically released Hulk movies, Lou Ferrigno plays a security guard, and in this one he works with Stan Lee. So that was definitely a fun moment. I love that anybody can anytime that somebody pays homage to the classic Incredible Hulk TV series. And I will tease that in September sometime, we are scheduled to speak with Kenny Johnson, who I did a very lengthy interview about the miniseries V, but he also created and was the showrunner of the Bill Bixby, Lou Ferrigno Hulk. And I've wanted to talk to him about that for a while. So we'll be doing that for this show while we're gearing up for more Marvel content. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. So I just never bought him as Banner, and there are people who do better jobs with their American accent. And I will always use the example of I can't watch Hugh Laurie with his American accent. I've watched like 3 minutes of House because he opens his mouth and I'm like, nope. Benedict Cumberbatch's isn't great. And it's infuriating because he could have just been British. There was no reason. It's like, I grew up in New York, but my parents are British. Great. You addressed it. Let's move on. But anyway,
I think we need to do a The Incredible Hulk watch just to maybe, I don't know, maybe remind you guys of how absolutely terrible it was that they literally got rid of Edward Norton, did another recasting of someone that looks absolutely nothing like him, and gave us Mark Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo looks more like Eric Bana than Ed Norton does, for sure. It's almost like if they had only done one recast. But I legitimately like that movie. I would be happy to talk about that movie on a future show.
Well, I remember a million years ago, the Comic-Con panel, the kind of really famous one with Iron Man and Hulk, And Iron Man comes out and, you know, shows the trailer, shows it again. Everyone's going nuts. What's the director's name of The Incredible? Louis Leterrier?
Louis Pasteur. Yeah, he also
Louis Pasteur.
Louis Pasteur. Yeah.
So he comes out with, you know, Edward Norton and Michael's favorite, Liv Tyler. And yeah, and first of all, they're talking about Liv Tyler's character. Well, I'm like, okay, that's a waste of my life. I will never get back. That's oxygen someone in this room needs more than to be used for this. But then they're like, you know what? We have one frame of Hulk to show how different it is from the old Hulk. Would you like to see it? And I was like, yeah. And then they show it. It looked the exact same as the other Hulk. And you could just hear. It was like, yeah. And then,
well, it was supposed
and that was
to
it.
Be.
That was it. It was like.
Yeah.
And that was it. After, especially after Iron Man, which destroyed that place with the trailer that no one expected to see. Coming in with just a still frame and talking about Liv Tyler's character, not a formula for success.
You're saying they should have promoted Hulk first and then bring out Robert Downey Jr. and talk about Iron Man. I see what you're saying.
Leads to the faster, longer road.
Yeah, you know, and like my notes for watching this movie, it's a lot of like, you know, like, oh, hey, Daniel Day Kim from Lost, and his character's name says Kim because it's his last name as a character too, you know, and I'm like, oh my God, they have an envelope of printed out Kodak photos in their desk. I remember that. I love dropping off photos and getting them actually developed, you know, but
Advantix.
Yeah, right, exactly. So I you know, it's
name drop of the year.
Yeah. But you know, it's oh yeah, and the fact that Betty has a beeper at one point, I'm like, you know, that just takes me back. But Eric, the one thing you warned me when I said we were going to be doing this, you did give me two words. Dog Hulk. And I think we do need to talk about the Cujo sequence in this movie, which perhaps if the film had never been adapted or if even the book had never been written, perhaps there would have been something about the terror of being trapped in your car while these scary dogs are out there. But I had definitely been there. I had done that. It had been done better. And let's just say the effects on the dogs weren't great. But by the way, the amount of violence to those dogs, and I know they're pretend dogs. I was just like, this is really uncomfortable. I think in my life, I've probably been trying to sleep and, you know, there's been like a neighborhood dog where I'm like, oh man, if only Eric Bana was here. But in general, I'm just like, this is really uncomfortable to watch. What did you think of the Cujo sequence, Michael? And do you feel any differently about it now than you did back then?
Well, I'm really not a French poodle kind of guy, but
anyone think that you were, by the way. Yeah. I don't think any of us thought that. Yeah.
I venture to say that I like them better as the dog Hulks than in the original form when it's in the lab with like just a bloody mouth and it's just like, and I love how he's like,
hey, doggy.
Yeah. I like he's just like, okay, bye. It's like, we have just like
dog
really
in a lab. In a lab.
Oh, hi, doggy.
A dog in a lab that didn't make him think twice because, you know, labs, you don't worry about things like contaminants, you know? So he's like, oh, yeah, oh, hi, doggy. Doggy tries to kill him. Okay, I'm going to go back to work now on my muscles since I don't actually do any lab work.
The Hulk dog, too,
it's funny you bring up the sort of...
Did you send me Hulk dog pictures,
I did
way?
Not, actually. I realize that's one thing I
didn't
grab. Because
I thought I missed them, and that's 10 demerits for Connor.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's for our radio listeners at home, it's imagine the dog at the end of Mask, or The Mask, not Mask. And it looks kind of like that, with like big bulging eyes and a big
snout. By the way, Daniel Drew's comment needs to be read. Them dogs were just like, what? and Daniel's just like, why?
The one he hit and it turned to dust?
That moment. Yeah, explain that to me, by the way. You know,
In my mind, that's how you make. Have you ever had chicken in a biscuit? Because that's in my mind how you make those. Is you
the
basically
cracker
take
or the
yes, the cracker.
Well, let's just say
turn the chicken to dust.
Yeah,
there it is.
I have a similar reaction at some point after I have chicken and biscuits, but I don't think that's what you're talking about.
Nah, chicken in a biscuit, a fabulous cracker product, cracker flavored product, but. With the dog scene, I realized, by the way, I'm watching this late at night on an iPad, which took away nothing, by the way. And as I'm listening to it, hearing the sound of these dogs getting pummeled, I'll agree, Christian, it was really actually unsettling.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't really see it all that well, what was happening, which was fine. I remember it from the theater, and I wasn't missing anything. But the sounds were horrifying. And, you know, I actually had a weird visceral reaction to it at some point. I'm like, I'm just going to kind of ignore this for the next few minutes then.
Did you go and pet Fezzik and say, hey, buddy?
I did. Because, you know, once you have a dog, and there might be a second dog entering our lives as well. You might have seen him in the background. That's a story for another episode.
Yeah, well, that's right. Make sure to definitely tease through the break.
Cliffhanger.
As they say. Yeah.
I missed the Nick Nolte picture, by the way.
There's so many good screen grabs from this movie.
Well, we had that one, and then of course we do need to put the all-time Hall of Fame screen grab, which is his headshot. But honestly, between the three that we've shown on this show, this one might not be my favorite anymore. That's still my favorite headshot, but we might have to do a poll. And I love the up next King Kong. Clearly you don't have good taste in movies, so go ahead and stick around for that.
Those are really long handcuffs they put on him too. Like, I've had the government handcuff me and they've never given me that kind of slack.
I think that's our off week topic is Michael Shirley look back at Oz.
Michael Shirley's run-ins with the law. Before we run out of time, I do want to go through some of these other photos here. So let's get started and we have to make sure we describe these for our audio audience. But this is basically, it looks like somebody's inventing the board game Mousetrap, but you tell me what's happening here.
Yeah, this was part of the early part of the 30-minute lab montage.
Yeah,
there's a drawing of a box, and I even labeled this "What's in the box?" And amidst all these drawings, this feels like something where they just ran out of time and energy and cocaine, and just like forget it, just draw a freaking box and film it. I don't care.
And again, there are so many great Nick Nolte pictures. Have the one where he's got that sort of like the cut in his hand turns into some goo, which, by the way, they did not do an excellent job of explaining it. And Eric has appropriately titled this picture Apple Bag in Hand. We have, honestly, the actually like fully rendered Hulk doesn't look much worse than, whatever happened to Grimace right here. I'm not quite sure.
This is one of, Judah Connor, my 12-year-old's, not to dox him or anything, but this is one of his favorite movies, The Amazing Bulk. And this is one of the best shots of that film, just so you know.
Yeah. Well, now it makes sense that it's the Amazing Bulk. So this is not
old enough to be watching that.
I feel like I know what that movie is, and I know what section of the video store you had to go through.
You had to go through a curtain.
That's not for children. And and I assume that cooking up crystal meth in the starfish flashback. That was something you alluded earlier.
Yeah.
When I first saw this, I'm like, why do we care that Avi Kaufman did the casting?
And how great must you feel as Avi Kaufman's like, oh, cool, this is my credit. Great. With the
Is printed and framed in Avi Kaufman's office. The starfish.
Slimy.
And we did talk a lot about the transitions, and I know that you, Eric, highlighted the probably most awkward one, because it's that end screen. Like when this YouTube video ends, basically everybody's going to see this, you know, a version of like, well, do you want to watch these 9 other videos, you know, which subscribe to the algorithm? And I think that perhaps that was your point, right? It's like the She-Hulk panels.
Yep. I realize I strongly now believe someone connected with She-Hulk's like, hey, can we reference that one bizarre transition in Hulk and have all these really unnecessary screens next to each other? Speaking of low budget effects, the moment of him getting hit with gamma radiation is
like, so this is Nick Nolte's the younger version of Nick Nolte's character. That other guy. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. The guy that Banner saves. Yeah. Sorry. I forgot that.
That's Eric Banner.
Okay. But you know, I'm thinking of the other guy, but my point is that my confusion shouldn't have existed, because the younger version of Nick Nolte had one of the sweetest porn stashes in a non-porn film in the history of cinema.
And also I'm so sorry, but he has a mustache, but somehow young Sam Elliott does not.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Must have been some miscommunication there behind the scenes.
There are some poor visual effects, and Eric has called this shot "ran out of money." To describe it for our audio audience is very difficult, but just imagine that you had a pocket full of pencils and your favorite action figure, and it went through the hot cycle on wash and then spent an hour in the dryer. And this is kind of what you got back is a melted Nick Nolte, which, let's be honest, a melted Nick Nolte kind of just looks like Nick Nolte. And then, of course, the notes, the monkey that did die off screen.
Monkey dead at 6 minutes is possibly the greatest work by any production designer. Monkey. And then Mill talks poison gas best.
Which, by the way, I was talking multiple times about Quinn Martin Productions earlier and Police Squad. It has given me a title for this episode of our show. Tonight's episode, Monkey See, Monkey Die.
Nice.
So that was the show that we just did tonight. We were talking earlier about the why are they wearing those sweaters?
I don't know.
Bruce.
J. Crew, Land's End.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's definitely like they did a dual J. Crew.
I love that theme right here. I really loved this scene. I thought
Were they foam the Hulk? Yeah.
I thought that was so brilliant to like kind
of
just like.
You're trying to tell me that you don't have a problem with these VFX.
It was 2003, and no, I don't.
All right.
Do you know what was 12 years before 2003? Terminator 2. All right. So if we had Terminator 2 over a decade before this, we could do better foam. I think, Michael, and I listen, I'm not trying to make any judgments here. I think it reminds you of foam parties past. And thus, you look at this.
I've only ever been to one foam party, and that foam didn't look like that.
Yeah. Not the beginning of the night.
God. So the foam wasn't a bit much. And I know that, look, I've got it as my background. I mean, the white outline around it, I'm just like, I don't understand. And it's like
the scarf. I know it's a sling, but it just looks.
And also the fact that you have the closed captioning turned on, and he does indeed say "ah." So,
He's done. They don't even explain him or give him a second thought.
I mean, he got way too much screen time as it was.
He got turned into a shrinky dink. I think was the matter of death.
Yeah,
no, they found him this big.
I definitely agree on that point, but
can we talk about my very least favorite thing about the movie? No one has mentioned it at all, and
I can't wait to hear it. Yes,
and I feel like it really kind of sets the tone for the way you guys have seen it. Danny Elfman doing the music, and it was just so too much like things that weren't sad, get like the violin, and it's just like he was the worst person to cast for this, because like like the whole lab scene, it's just this song of sorrow. And it's just so out of place.
I agree. And it did feel like he scored a different movie, right?
Yes.
And then they were like, can we use this for Hulk? You're paying me? Yeah, we'll pay you for the movie you scored it for and for this movie. Yeah, sure, no problem.
It's like he scored a music for like some movie about like a child dying of cancer. Like it just did not like go with this, like you want to see tears or something, and it's just not that at all. And I feel like that the music is so important in movies. And I think if we had a different score for the movie that was a little more fun, and that's another problem I have with the movie. There's no humor.
There is 0% fun in this movie. I agree. Yeah.
The only part in the movie where I like actually smiled was when he takes the tank and he turns it around on the guy in the tank. And that felt so to me like the MCU we had today. And we needed a little bit more, we needed humor in this movie to just some small extent. And I think that's the biggest problem. The music, the lack of humor, the just having these really great actors do all this goofy stuff.
Yeah. We don't get these as much anymore, but you get a lot of comic book movies and sci-fi and fantasy that are made by directors who don't love the source material. You know, they feel like they can take it on. You know, James Cameron was going to make a Spider-Man movie, which if you've ever read the treatment of that, it would have been something, but it wouldn't have been Spider-Man, you know? So I think we're definitely more spoiled in recent times because, you know, you have the Kevin Feige's and James Gunn's of the world that are looking out for like, well, this is stuff that I really like. And when I was a kid, that I would like it to, I don't know, have been good. And Ang Lee was like, I'm going to make a film with a capital F, which is the grade that I give it from my own personal tomato meter. I want to make sure that because we've talked so much about the transitions before we run out of time, I wanted to...
The gardening sequence.
Okay, you guys can hear this, right? Star wipe to a glamour shot of Flanders paying his bills. Finley. Then we star wipe. Uh-oh. Wipe to Flanders brushing his...
Dad, there are other wipes besides star wipes.
Why eat hamburger when you can have steak?
I'm taking my name off this thing.
So, yeah, they do use the transitions very liberally. And by the way, if this video gets struck because I showed that clip from The Simpsons, you know, Disney owns them now. That'll be the end of Eric sending me anything.
I thought you would play it without sound.
I actually tried to.
There weren't enough star wipes for you.
There were not enough star wipes. Okay. Yeah, it's the best wipe. Is that what you're trying to say? Yeah, of the wipe family. Yeah.
You know, but even when they were doing those transitions early, Lauren like walked by at one point when I was watching this. She's like, it looks like it could be interesting, but it's like this kind of funky dissolve from one part of a lab to another part of a lab. So it was in essence like comic book style transitions, but if they were doing it of the first half of, let's say, Oppenheimer.
We needed like...
Could you imagine? We should take the footage from Oppenheimer and add like, you know, circle wipes and star wipes and
clock
wipes.
I figure that's what that picture is up there.
Oh, that's it. Oh my God. We got to make a clock of that. Because you can do it with his arms.
Yeah. Eric, have I gotten through all your pictures?
I think, and I know we got
because you separated them today. But I wanted to get the video. I knew about the video, and look, this, you know, to summarize, it's the idea that this was made by Ang Lee, who I'm just assuming didn't love the Hulk, didn't love the source material. Eric Bana thought it was an interesting project, but let me just finish my thought, and I will certainly. And then from that point, everyone down did not do a great job. There are definitely top-notch actors in here. They do not give strong performances. I would say none of them do. Daniel Day-Kim probably comes off looking the best because he has two lines.
Right.
But, you know, from the effects to the inappropriate score, it fails on every level. Somehow it's more disappointing than Elektra because I didn't expect really anything from Elektra. I expected Hulk to look better. Elektra is a worse movie, but okay. This I'm more disappointed in. You know what I mean? Like okay. This I thought had more chance, but I'm more disappointed in you, Hulk. Now, what were you going to say, Michael? I certainly wanted to give you the floor.
Oh, well, I want to say I thought, and I think this guy is a total piece of shit, but I think Sam Elliott did a great job as Thunderbolt Ross. But you keep saying how like Ang Lee didn't seem fully invested in this film. I don't know if you guys know this. He did all of the motion capture for the Hulk. Like
he played himself.
Ang Lee did the Hulk motion capture.
I'm gonna amend my statement and say he was too invested in this movie.
Oh, that's what I was about to say.
Definitely much too invested.
No, he
had no idea.
No, on that, right. He didn't phone it in. He was going for something. I have no idea.
He's Korean. He did the Hulk's voice for this movie too.
Oh.
He did both of those things. This was like
Hulk doesn't talk until like an hour and a half into the movie, and then he does, and he's like, "Beauty humans." I'm like, I really wish he hadn't talked.
Well, you know what? I'm happy we didn't have to take like five movies like Mark Ruffalo did to learn English, you know. Oh, like I appreciate we just fast forwarded to that.
I'm gonna do a deep dive on the 70s show when we talk to Kenny Johnson, but in my memory that Hulk actually didn't talk. He just growled. Yeah. He didn't say, you know, Hulk smash in any of that, and that is also a choice. Perhaps I respect it more. I want to give you a chance to finish up your thoughts before we all have to run. But is there anything else that you want to share with the rest of the class, Michael?
I think we need, like I said, I think we need to do the Incredible Hulk, because I don't know if it aged quite as well as you might remember it.
I will let you know that I watched it in the lead up to Endgame, so I have seen it somewhat recently. This is not a movie that I haven't seen, and I think that came out in 2011. What are your final thoughts, Eric?
A couple of notes I had here. One was I did like when Sam Elliott bellowed, "Turn it into a parking lot." Like, I thought, like, all right, that's why you get Sam Elliott. That and the bizarre moment with his mustache that went on a little too long. I read very deeply into that moment. One of my favorite lines from Jennifer Connelly, "You were going to die, and I was going to watch you die." It's like, isn't the order there maybe off? Like, shouldn't you start, again, the on-ramp?
I was going to watch you die, which implies that you are going to die. Yeah.
Right.
Just imagine if this screenwriter had written Star Trek II Wrath of Khan when Spock dies and goes to talk to him one last time.
I had to watch you die. Last thing. What's his name? Josh Lucas or whatever, the guy with the frosted tip hair. his best line, maybe the best line of the 2000s. I know what we'll call the book about you. When stupid ideals happen to smart, penniless scientists. And I was like, dude, sick burn. I can see why you're dangerous.
That is some of the worst dialogue that I've ever seen. And it all went with his character. Cammy Egan, we should watch at least one episode of the Incredible Hulk TV show, particularly the one where Hulk fights the bear. Yeah, if I'm going to recommend one. But there's also the TV movies they did after the series. There's one that has Daredevil and Thor. And
I don't know anything about those. Wow.
Oh yeah, I think they. I would look, but I think they're on Disney Plus. If they're not, don't worry. We'll have a homework assignment before that episode. But speaking of future episodes, we're going to take the rest of the summer off, but we'll be back September 6th to talk about season 2 of I Am Groot. There'll be 5 new Groot shorts And watch, the biggest Marvel news that we've had in years is going to come out over the next couple weeks. And actually, I think there's 0% chance that happens at the end of August. but send us your ideas. You can follow me on X and Threads at Christian DMZ. And let us know what movies you'd like us to do like this. I think after we do that Groot episode, we'll dive into the Ed Norton Hulk for sure, which I already own on standard def DVD. Michael, you don't have to send it to me. I have a standard def DVD of it. Maybe I'll watch the director's commentary.
It was a punishment gift, like a joke gift.
Well, if you want to set it, if you want to send me a standard def DVD of Ang Lee Hulk, please do. Eric, where can you be found?
You could find me, at Threads and Instagram and X and Q and Y, Count Eric Connor.
And, of course, Michael X Shirley is on X. Mm-hmm. Michael X Shirley.
Ahead of my time, aren't
so
I?
Far ahead of your time. thank you, gents. It was fun to finally watch this. Now I can back up all the opinions that I already had about the film. But that's all the time we have for now. We'll see you on September 6th to talk Groot. Until then, as the great Stan Lee would say, Excelsior!
Brother.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.